الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون أياما معدودات. صدق الله العظيم. We've been discussing how to keep a perfect roza so that we get the perfect benefit and a complete benefit of keeping the rozas of fasting. In that, besides not eating, drinking, and having any sexual contact, the other is that we keep rozas of our eyes also, rozas of the tongue, of the ears also, and all the other limbs of the body as well. Together with that, also we should keep roza of our thoughts. That is also one form of roza. Try and control our thoughts as much as it is humanly possible. In that, our Shaykh Damat Barakatum says that if a person, he says, if you just do four things and one more things by way of introduction, you guaranteed you'll become a wali of Allah Ta'ala. By introduction, the one thing is correction of our recitation of the Quran Sharif, to recite the Quran Sharif correctly. And Hadrat says this is not, in fact, Hadrat Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali says, if a person just spends about two and a half months, spending about every day 20 days, 30 minutes by Qari, his Quran will be corrected. And once it is corrected for life, it is corrected. So that is the most important. Yeah, Alhamdulillah, we've got our program every morning, and mashq is made of the correct recitation of the Quran Sharif. But this is for a very little while, and this is hopefully just to make us conscious that how our reading is. It is just a test. We are not really trained. We are not listened to. A person doesn't read, and Ustad listens to make sure. But if a person, and it is a faraz on every individual to make sure that we read the Quran Sharif correctly. To read the Quran Sharif correctly is faraz. The makharij and the major rules of tajweed, to apply them, these are faraz. So that is one thing. The second thing is looking after one's gazes, which we had discussed. And the third is that a person should keep his apparel, his clothing, above his ankles. And then the fourth is that his thoughts he must also keep clear. And the fifth thing is that the beard, keep his beard properly, proper. That also we had discussed quite a bit, at quite a few times. It must be at least one fist length, and that is from below the chin, and on all three sides. And this is according to all four imams. So that is also very important. So with regard to the thoughts, Hazrat Damat Barakatum says that don't bring your old thoughts back also. Now you have become nek, you have changed, you have reformed, you have corrected your life. Now you don't go and mix with women. You don't go to places where you shouldn't go. Now what nafs will do, and shaitan, to just amuse you and make you happy, will replay all the old videos again. That when you were at school, what you used to do. When you were at college, what you used to do. When you were young, and make you think of all those things. And all those women or whoever you had contact with, shaitan will make you think of that also. So, yet there is another thing also, that the thoughts that come themselves, you didn't bring those thoughts. Thoughts come to every person. And this is also another thing, a thought is such an abstract thing. A person can't see a thought, he can't feel a thought, he can't touch a thought. A thought just comes. And this thought turns the whole world upside down. A thought comes to a person's mind. You just the thought comes, you must renovate your house again. You must relocate again. Or anything else. And what happens after that? So that thought, which was just so abstract, and where it came and where it went, you don't know. And good thoughts also come. And bad thoughts also come. For good thoughts also, my Ustad, Maulana Ibrahim Mia Sahab, Damat Barakatuhum, taught me when I was a young boy there that always keep a diary with you. And alhamdulillah, since that day, I have till today, well over 50 years, I've been keeping the diary. Because you don't know when, where a thought comes to you. And if you don't note it down, like our Shaykh Damat Barakatuhum says, that always keep a diary and note down everything. If not, if you don't keep a diary, you'll get diarrhea. That is, all whatever you heard will just go out again. You won't preserve it. Unless somebody claims he's got a memory like Imam Bukhari, rahmatullah alayh, then that is something else. Imam Bukhari, rahmatullah alayh, on one occasion, his fellow students, they told him, why are you wasting your time? And at that time, he was a young boy of about perhaps 9, 10 or so. That why are you coming to the lesson? You're not writing down. You just sit and you're wasting your time. When you at your age, why don't you go and play? So when they kept on telling him a few times, then when he couldn't take it, he said, okay, bring all your notes and let us compare that what are your notes like. And then when he read out of memory everything what the ustad said, and then they had to correct in their books, such was his memory. And later, when he had graduated, he had become who is known in the world as Imam Bukhari, rahmatullah alayh. The people, they wanted to test him. So they collected 10 hafiz hadith, muhaddithin. And each one quoted 10 hadith. And in each one, the sanad, the lineage, that I heard this hadith from so-and-so, from so-and-so, from so-and-so. In each hadith, they made a mistake in one of the names of the rawis, of the narrators. Like, for example, there is one narrator, Anas ibn Malik, and there is one Malik ibn Anas. They two. So just like the small mistakes they made. Or some of the lineage, the line, they joined it with another hadith, not with this hadith. And each one of them read 10 hadith like that. And on each hadith, Imam Bukhari said, La a'lam, I don't know this hadith. I don't know this hadith. So 10 muhaddithin, each one 10 hadith. So 100 hadith, each they had read all together. On each one he said, La a'lam, I don't know this hadith. So then they said that what kind of a muhaddith is so famous in the world, he doesn't know one hadith also. Then he said the first hadith, the first muhaddith read, he read it in this way. And here he made a mistake. Allah. And the correct is this. The second hadith, he read it in this way. Here he made a mistake. And the correct is this. Allah. In that short while, 100. So Allah bless them with that. Aha, that hafza, that memory which they had. So if somebody got a memory like that, then he doesn't have to write. But if we haven't got a memory like that, we should try and write it down. Some of us are feeling comfortable. The cassettes are there, CDs, and we listen to it. And the collection of CDs and cassettes in our houses, when we get time to listen to it. And when you remember a certain point and you want to refer to it, to go and look for it on that CD, and if it's a, what, MP3, then where are you going to go and look for it? But if you got it noted, you can just turn your pages and you know you can find it quite easily. So we should try and note. So anyway, sometimes a thought comes, a good thought, and you didn't note it down, and you lost something very valuable. And these thoughts also, they are guests from Allah Ta'ala, the good thoughts. And sometimes one thought, and it can turn your whole life around. So therefore, these thoughts are very valuable. And then there are bad thoughts also, shaitan whispers also, which comes in the hadith. And shaitan sits like a mosquito on the heart. And whenever he finds the heart unmindful of the remembrance of Allah, whichever form of zikr of Allah Ta'ala, then he puts his poison into that heart. And then he withdraws again. So these the bad thoughts also come to a person. And these are called wasawis. And these wasawis, the evil whisperings of shaitan and nafs. And nafs also tells a person to do bad. It's also like a thought which comes to a person. an idea, a thought, do this, do that, go here, go and do that. And the difference to know whether this evil whispering was from shaitan or whether it is from nafs. Hazrat Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali explained, if a thought comes repeatedly of a certain bad, guna, evil, then know that is from nafs. Because the nafs is with you all the time. Nafs doesn't go anywhere. And your nafs is your nafs. So it has got full time to attack you. So it will repeat all the time. Shaitan, he hasn't got enough time. He hasn't got time to just be behind one person. He has vowed that he'll make the whole world go astray. So he just gives you one thought and he carries on again. He doesn't repeat all the time. So if a thought just came and that thought doesn't come back again, a bad thought, no, that is from shaitan. And if a thought, bad thought comes and it's repeatedly coming, do this, you're trying hard to avoid it, but again it's come. Put the TV on, put the video on, put this, go on, go tonight to the casino, go here, and you just want to all the time. That is from your nafs. So these are the both of them are evil. And in the one, there are three forces, in fact, many forces. One is shaitan. And Allah Ta'ala said, many people said, I'm very weak, shaitan is strong. We have weakened ourselves. Otherwise, Allah Ta'ala said, inna kayda shaitani kana dha'ifa. The trickery and the planning of shaitan is very weak. But when we make ourselves weak, then that is when a person, when he's not brave. Okay? And bravery, what comes in the hadith, that we seek protection from Allah Ta'ala from being, what is opposite of bravery? A coward, to be cowardly. We seek Allah's protection of being cowardly. This is not only in worldly matters with a crook or with somebody. It is with shaitan and our nafs also. Okay? And Allah Ta'ala has not given us any command, our Shaykh Da'amat Barakatum says, which was beyond us. When Allah gave us the command of taqwa, it is within our means. That Allah has not made zulm in the least, but on any person. So if we couldn't observe taqwa, staying away from guna, from sin, which means staying away from the evil inspirations of shaitan and nafs, if we couldn't save ourselves, Allah shouldn't have given this command. But we know when a person makes himself weak and he goes on the defense of Allama Khalid Mahmud Sahib, Da'amat Barakatuhum, says the best defense is offense. When you have the best defense is offense. So always be on the offensive. Your defense will be strong. But when you go on the defense, you are very weak already. So in soccer also, if you keep the ball in the other people's half all the time, your defense is all right if you're on the offense all the time. But if you have become weak and you're allowing the ball right to come to your defense, then at any time you're going to lose. So therefore, a person must be on the offensive all the time. So with nafs and shaitan also, a person must be on the offensive. So that is nafs, shaitan. These are two evils which are there all the time. Then the Quran Sharif says with regard to woman also, inna kayda kunna azim, that the trickery and treachery of woman, that is very severe. That is, shaitan, Allah said, is weak. But for woman, Allah said, it's very strong. So therefore, we must be careful of all the evil that can come through the source of woman also. It comes in a hadith sharif that women have got half the minds of men. So whatever the world's people can say, neurologists can say what they want to, and dunya can say what they want to. All that in one pan, and what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, outweighs all that at any time. So women's minds are half. And Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, but they are naqisatul aqal. They are not complete. They are not full in their brains. But they make people who have got full brains, they make them lose their brains also. So therefore, a person must be very careful with regard to the fitna of woman. And the small little things, what they do, you don't know what an effect. And if a person, our Shaykh Da'amat Barakatum says, that Hakim Jali knows. He's a famous Hakim, very famous, very good Hakim. He was going for his morning walk, and a mad person saw him and looked at him and like winked at him. Immediately he went back to his surgery, to his matab, and he told the person working for him, give me that medicine which we give to mad people. So he said, you, Hakim, you saw, you are, what's wrong? Nothing wrong with you, no signs of any madness in you. He says, no, that person who just smiled with me, he just winked an eye, that means there's something in common with us. So therefore, I fear there must be something wrong with me. Allah. So therefore, with regard to women, stay far away. And if you come in contact with something, remember you are in danger now. You're in great danger. You have to take a lot of precaution. It's difficult to understand this until we do take precaution. Otherwise, we feel life is like that. Like very sadly, one mother, her son divorced his wife, or her daughter got divorced, when people said, we're sorry to hear, and she said, no, it happens. So when it becomes so common and people just accept it, these things are common, they happen, what is that? Then it is a sad case when a person reaches that level. On one occasion, somebody asked Hazrat Mufti Mahmood Sahib, rahmatullah alayh, that the tie, and that is the symbol of the cross, which Encyclopedia Britannica says it's a symbol of the cross, and if people wear it, but they don't wear it as the symbol of the cross, just wear it to look dressed up, to look neat, or it is just that in the office, at work, you have to wear a tie. So is there anything wrong in that case? Hazrat Mufti Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, before answering the actual masala, he said, how low have we become? That what was a symbol, a religious symbol, they have made it so common that today we don't even regard it as anything. So when that happens, that a person does not even regard it as something, that's a very low level. So today with regard to mixing of women, what is it? It's nothing. You mix with your cousins, you mix with your neighbors, you sit around, you talk. This means nothing. Even to good people it means nothing. Like that, on the other hand, we might be so pious, but this means nothing. How sad it is. In mostly country towns we see this. The imam, who is an alim, a good alim, but with every woman in the town, he talks freely. He goes in the house, sits around, talks around, and it means nothing to him whatsoever. So this is a very, very low state that we reach when we don't even regard, we're not even conscious of his son or anyone else who comes in contact with woman because of his work. And he reaches that stage where he doesn't take any precaution. No more he makes any ihtiyat, and it means nothing to him. That is quite a very low state that a person has reached. So anyway, these thoughts that come, and many people, they think because of the evil thoughts that come to me, I'm destroyed. I'm the worst person. So thoughts which come themselves, they are not harmful to a person. They won't harm your iman. The Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum should come to Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and say, we get such thoughts that are terrible, the worst thoughts. Huzur sallallahu, and they were thinking that they are really so bad. Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told them, ذَاكَ الْإِذَاكَ iman. That is your iman. That when those thoughts come and you feel bad about them, if you did not have iman, you shouldn't have thought bad. You shouldn't have felt bad. If, for example, the thought of robbing somebody, of going to commit adultery with a woman, if you didn't have iman, these things you wouldn't even have thought them as bad. But because you have got iman, now you are feeling guilty about that. So just that bad feeling is a sign of iman. So a person doesn't have to worry much of the thoughts that come. And the mind is such that it entertains thoughts all the time, consciously, unconsciously. While we are awake and while we are sleeping, also a part of the brain works also. And also what a person was thinking, what happened in the day, that affects his dream also. So therefore, if we get sometimes very good dreams, we shouldn't go on top of the sky also. It is perhaps just because we were in such an environment during that day. Therefore, we're getting those dreams. It is not a reality, really. And bad dreams also, sometimes some bad things happen, and we get a bad dream, So don't be affected by bad dreams also. So anyway, the thoughts that come on their own, that is not harmful to a person. But what are harmful and which are sins are thoughts which a person brings. Intentionally he thinks of a certain bad thing. His past history of doing something presently in the future, that is harmful. So that is the thing that what we have to keep away from. Or a thought came itself. A thought just came to a person, a bad thought about something. And now in this thought came, a person realized, oh, for I'm thinking of this, yeah. Now if he carries on, he's enjoying that. Now it has become sin. And if at that point, he makes, ah, tawbah, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, astaghfirullah, what I'm thinking about. And he gets on with his life again, on something else. No guna of that. So bad thoughts which come, whether they come from shaitan, whether they come from nafs, what they come themselves, you don't have to feel bad about that at all. You, in the sense that you have gone bad, but you realize it's bad. That is the sign that you have got iman. And when the thought comes and you entertain it, you keep it, you make it a guess, a bad thought, that is what is harmful. And if you bring a thought yourself, that is harmful. So, and also any thought that came, as long as it's just a thought, it isn't a sin stuff, a bad thing also what you think. When you decide, no, now I'm going to do this here. That bad thought that came, whatever it is, to break your roza, to go and drink liquor, to go and take drugs, to go with a woman, or anything. Now when you plan it properly in your mind, you decide on it, that is now when it becomes a guna. When the thought has just come and it's in your mind, it just came on its own, no matter what bad thought came, that is not a guna. So that is one aspect, wasawis. With regard to that, the treatment of these bad thoughts that come, there are quite a few treatments. One of them is, as far as reading is concerned, one of them is, which comes in the Hadith Sharif, Allahumma aj'al wasawisa qalbi khashyataka wa dhikraka. Allahumma aj'al wasawisa qalbi. Oh Allah, we make this wasawis of my heart. This evil whisperings which are coming in my heart, make them khashyataka wa dhikra. Turn them into your fear and turn them into your remembrance. So shaitan gave us fuel to make us evil. With that fuel, we used it to become pious. Somebody gave you money to go to the casino. You took that money and you went to the masjid. So that person wanted to mislead you. Let you go wrong. But you used it to go right. Somebody gave you, put you on the internet, subscribed for you, he's paying your subscription so that you see all evil. But you're going on all good sites and you're doing all good. So this is when shaitan put the fuel of this wasawis and you use them to go towards Allah. So shaitan is going to turn away from you. I'm wasting my time with this man. I'm paying him to become evil. And he's using that with free of charge, what he's getting the fuel, and he's becoming pious. And yeah, in this dua, our Shaykh Ahmad Barakatum says, a person sometimes gets confused. Is it first dhikrak or is it first khashyatak? So just remember, the kha comes before the dhal in the alphabet. So then you'll remember easily that first it comes, Allahumma aj'al wasawisa qalbi khashyataka wa dhikrak. It's not first, Allahumma aj'al wasawisa qalbi dhikrak wa khashyatak. Because sometimes a person gets confused. So it is first khashyatak wa dhikrak. So that is one very easy treatment. Another treatment is, which is common for all of us that we can read and which is extremely effective, is the recitation of La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. That when these thoughts come, just read La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. But in that also, even the empty capsule in deen is valuable. An empty capsule in dunya is useless. If you drink an empty capsule, what is it going to serve you? But in deen, even the empty capsule is valuable. Like, for example, we read in the Quran Sharif right at the start, Alif Lam Mim. For us, it's an empty capsule. No meaning. There's no meaning in that words. After that, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ. But even on that Alif Lam Mim, on each letter, 10 sawabs.
Allah.
So it isn't an empty capsule. So in deen, even this is very valuable. And this is the proof of people who say, the Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our ulama, our shaykh, damat barakatum, jazawum Allah khair. Many people, modernists, they say to read the Quran Sharif without meaning is useless. That you don't benefit, you don't know what is the meaning. Then Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there are 10 sawabs on every letter. And I don't say alif lam mim is one letter. He used the Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used these words, alif lam mim. I say alif is a separate letter, lam is a separate letter, and mim. And the greatest mufassir also puts his tools down and say, I don't know the meaning of alif lam mim. And on that, what meaning you don't know, they stand 10 sawabs. So a person who say there is no sawab on reading the Quran, then the whole world who are reading huruf and muqatta'at, in many surahs at the beginning, these words come, ha, mim, ayn, seen, qaf, ta, ha, all that, nobody knows the meaning. But or getting 10 sawabs on everyone. So just imagine, so the Quran Sharif, deen, even the capsules are valuable. A person who makes zikr and no concentration, also it has got value. Of course, if you make your capsule worth 20 milligrams, 2,000 milligrams, so much more you're going to benefit. But even the empty capsule in deen has got value. So just reading La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah without knowing the meaning or anything, the translation even, then also it has got value. But if a person knows the meaning of it, then the value of it becomes tremendous. What is the meaning? The translation doesn't make much sense without the full meaning. The translation, la hawla, there is no turning, wa la quwwata, and there is no strength, illa billah. So it doesn't really make sense. You have to fill in the meaning properly. La hawla, there is no turning away from evil, wa la quwwata, and there is no power to do good, illa billah. So you have resorted totally to Allah Ta'ala. You have put your full reliance on Allah Ta'ala when you recite, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Shaitan who came to attack you, with all his forces also, no matter how great and how many jinnat he comes with, and he wants to attack you, and you get one Allah's help, then what do you need? Allah is there. Therefore, in the Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala said, يُخْرِجُهُم مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ. Allah Ta'ala takes them out from zulumat, which is the plural. Because zulumat, darkness, evil, bad, there are many types of evil. How many types of sin? How many types of wrong there are? How many types of darknesses? So Allah says, Allah takes you out from zulumat ila nur. To nur, because nur, truth, is only one. So therefore, Allah one, but He is the absolute truth. His power is the greatest. So if you are in any kind of zulumat, jinnat effect, jadu effect, there is nothing more stronger than the Quran Sharif. And Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us the Quran, the three quls, Ayatul Kursi, and so many other ayats which are enough for shaitan, for jinnat effect. وَإِن يَكَادُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. Read this ayat, the last ayat of Surah Noon in the 29th Supara. If there is any effect, it won't be able to do you anything. And if no effect, no effect will be able to come on you. If presently you're not affected, and you read this ayat three times every morning, no jinnat will be able to affect you. And you won't need any amil. The greatest amil is the Quran Sharif. And everyone has got the full permission and license to use the Quran Sharif, and free of charge. So therefore, Allah has given us that power. So la hawla wa la quwwata is got tremendous, great, great power. Inshallah, someday, how many mashayikh have made the whole tarbiyat of their murids only on the wazifa of la hawla wa la quwwata. They got saved from all evil, jinnat, shaitan, nafs, every evil they got saved just by the recitation of la hawla wa la quwwata. We are encouraged in the hadith to read it 70 times a day. And our Shaykh Rahmat Barakatum says, a simple prescription, read it 7 times. Because Allah multiplies neki by 10. So then you have read it 70 times. And whatever is done by in 70 according to hadith is li kathrat, that you have done it in great, great abundance. So therefore, read this, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, read it 7 times. And the 7th time, read it complete. إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ الْعَلِيِّ الْعَظِيمِ لَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. Just read so much, 6 times. The 7th time, read it complete. إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ الْعَلِيِّ الْعَظِيمِ. There is a great, great wazifa. And read it with this, that there is no turning away from any evil. وَلَا قُوَّةَ, and there is no power to do any good إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. Read it at a time when any temptation of sin comes to a person. Bad thoughts come. And just read that la hawla. Nobody can turn the sin away from me. And illa billah, only Allah ta'ala. When we become lazy to do any good deed, sometimes we get lazy for ibadah, for namaz, for tilawat, etc. Read it la hawla, and now put the emphasis on wala quwwata. That there is no power to do any good illa billah. In other words, you are seeking the help of Allah. Oh Allah, you help me. When a person reads this, then the farishta say that this person has come in the protection of Allah. Oh. And now the farishtas declare he saved of sin already. But he's still engaged in sin. He has read it and it is like a policy you have taken out. Whatever protection, insurance, just an example, the masala insurance is haram, but just an example that you have already taken out your policy and now there is a fire, now you are facing that harm. The farishta say, no, he's already in the Allah's protection. Then, but he's still committing guna. Then Allah Ta'ala feels he has read these words for me and he's still in guna. Allah himself protects that person now from guna. Allah puts that person in his hifazat. And such a person will see, he's going out and he wants to now make contact with woman, but everywhere it's failing. His phone is not working. The number is engaged. There's no reply or whatever else. Or that woman is just not in a mood to speak to you today. Something is going wrong all the time. When you come in a less protection, you putting your force to do guna. Allah is protecting you. And you see, it's just not working out. Whatever you want to do is just going wrong. So, la hawla wa la quwwata. And what is said, however, is that what is extremely valuable, people don't value it. And what is useless, people put great attachment to it. Like, for example, air. How valuable isn't it? Less than air, water is so valuable. But we haven't got qadar. But for cold drink, which is useless, that people they have got so much of value for it, and which is harmful to the body. But water, which is so good, nobody cares about water. And in fact, the best water, Zamzam, we don't like the taste also nowadays. Our taste is gone so bad. To this extent, how sad it is that a person goes for Hajj and Umrah, and he's sitting in Makkah Sharif, he wants a Haram View hotel. He wants to have a Haram View. But inside there, he's not having haram water. He's having American water. He's having European water. All the filthy and dirty water, which is so harmful spiritually, physically, in every way. And he has to pay so much for it. But he prefers that. But when he comes home, then you see him coming with 20 liters in each hand of Zamzam water. But there we couldn't even drink Zamzam water. So we don't have value for it. Then more valuable than water in this dunya is air. Water, you can today, whole day we kept roza. We didn't have a drop of water also. But could we keep roza of the air that we don't breathe in? If a person doesn't breathe, then see how he feels. Just sometimes if it has to happen, and your breathing, either your lungs or anything, your nose gets blocked, anything, your lungs get blocked and you don't get your air, you'll get a taste of sakarat immediately. What sakarat is like. What it is when maut comes. When oxygen a person doesn't get in his body. And every part of the body needs oxygen. And therefore we have been given the great command of wudu 5 times a day almost. For every namaz, preferably a person should make wudu. And in with water touching the body, a person gets that oxygen also, all that parts of the body. For ghusl, your whole body you must wash, so that water reaches all of it, so that you get that oxygen. Your blood, with the function of the lungs and the heart, all the time to purify the blood and to put oxygen back into the blood, to take out the carbon dioxide. and then to put in oxygen into that blood. If there is an oxygen in the blood, no, whatever part of the body, life of the body is with blood, as the blood flows in the whole body. And what is the blood is the carrier. The blood itself is not the life. But the blood carries this oxygen. And Allah alone knows how many more things it carries. So all that which is good for a person. So today, air, and for water we still pay for it. Municipal water also we pay. But air, nobody can charge us. It is free. Right? And this air, we are breathing in all the time. And without air for a little while, and then see what happens to a person. Once we were in Port Shepstone, in KwaZulu-Natal, and there was a person, very naked person also, very wealthy also, and he was very old, he has passed away now. He had a beautiful house overlooking the sea, and he was sitting and with this oxygen all the time. He couldn't breathe, and how he's suffering. Oh, no. Right? And then when I was in Germiston, there was one man, also a very wealthy man, and one time he invited quite a few people of the town, in which he invited me also. We all went for this invitation. And all the best of food on the table, the biryani and whatever else, all were eating and enjoying all the ni'mats that were there. But he himself had those huge oxygen tanks with him, two of them. No water also he could have, just oxygen all the time. He had two Mercedes in his house, in his yard, but he had to beg his children just to take him for one little spin on a Sunday. Nobody is prepared to take him. He's got the Mercedes, but he can't use it also. So make qadr of the ni'mats of Allah. So we, what is useless, gold, what are you going to use gold for? You just keep it in your safe and you become, if anyone knows you got jewelry, you are in big problems. Then the crook comes and he won't just take the jewelry, he'll even cut your stomach open. He'll kill you also. So what is, but everyone has got value for gold. Everyone has got value for diamonds. But the simple things which are so valuable, we don't value that. So like that, many people they ask for big, big wazifas. There is a wazifa given by Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Your peer sahab, your sheikh gives you wazifa, you appreciate it so much. And if he got some jawbreakers and some difficult words, then you think there is a very heavy wazifa. But the simple wazifa, it looks so simple, but this is one of the greatest wazifas. Allah. It comes in the Hadith Sharif. It is kanz min kunuzil jannah. A treasure from the treasures of Jannah it is. In another hadith it comes, it is from under the arsh of Allah Ta'ala. Putting the two hadith together, Allah's arsh is like the roof of Jannah. So therefore, it comes from under the arsh of Allah, it comes from the highest of Jannah. So this Allah Ta'ala has given us, and read it at least every day 7 times. And whenever any temptation of a guna, read it, and read it with that conviction. And the power that comes, like a capsule, it is 20 milligram, 200, 2000 milligram. What gives power in this capsule here is the strength of our iman. That conviction that it is. And for that there are two things. Imanu wa ihtisaba. One, that is our yaqeen. And that complete conviction we have, the whole world can say what they want to. And what Huzur sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, what the Quran says, they can prove it wrong, open in front of your eyes. You don't accept that. You accept what Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Your iman must be to this extent that Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alaihi says, if somebody claims nabuwat today, that he's a nabi, and you just ask him this question, what is your proof? You lose your iman. Because you have got something in you that there is a possibility that if he gives the proof, I can accept it. Your iman must be to this. If he gives you 100% proof, still you don't accept it. Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the last and the final Nabi. No matter what proof he gives you, you don't accept. Iman is not objective. It is subjective. Iman is not an open thing for discussion. Allahu Akbar. One person who wanted to debate what Imam Malik rahmatullah Ali. Imam Malik rahmatullah Ali refused to debate with him. So, and he told him that if you, by the power of your knowledge and your logic, you prove me wrong, that means I'll have to accept what you say. Though my iman is on this. But in a debate, by the proof of your knowledge and your logic, you prove me wrong. So I'll have to accept. And then both of us now, we are accepting. We are now united. We are standing on one point, no difference between us. A third person comes and he is more knowledgeable and he's got more logical arguments and he proves both of us wrong. Now we'll have to follow him again. So what is Iman? You've got one cause, one road, one way you go. The people can say it, they use it as a derogative term, you are one-track-minded. Be one-track-minded. You got the right way, you're on the right cause, let the world say you are one-track-minded. You are old-fashioned, you are a fundamentalist, you are this, let them say, but you know you're on the right cause, you don't even listen to them. Don't waste your time also discussing and arguing with them. If you think that there is a possibility I can convince him, then speak to him. But if you know he is just adamant and that, don't even take up his challenge. Let the world say you're stupid and you are not prepared to take up a challenge. No problem. But you remain on your right cause. So anyway, so one great wazifa, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. One it was that, Allahumma aj'al wasawisa qalbi khashyataka wa dhikrak. And la hawla wa la quwwata, it comes in the Hadith Sharif, it is a treatment for 70 bimaris. And of the lowest of them, in some it comes, it is a treatment for poverty. And other it comes for this depression. It is a treatment for all types. Thoughts are the thing that cause depression to a person. When a certain, just a thought comes now, that for example, you had done something wrong. The thought came that so and so knows about it, he's going to go and tell everyone. Now finish. Now you are in a state of depression. Or anything else. How many young boys come to us who were in the habit of masturbation, which is haram, and which the West encourages, unfortunately, also. And today, our youth are also confused between the two. They're looking at Western novels, books, etc. also. Then they see the Islamic side also, and they get confused. And a person who masturbates can lose his manpower also. So when at the time of marriage, they get very worried. So just that thought, and now they don't want to get married. And this thought, negative thought, another great negative thought which the West is putting in the minds of people in the name of the big university education and degrees. And in psychology especially, they put that whatever, if you were abused when you were a child, you're going to abuse other people. And whatever you did wrong, how your parents were when you were a child, you're going to grow up like that. So they mold your mind. They make you think this is going to happen to me. So that thought that comes, that destroys your life. Whether you're going to abuse somebody or not, but just the thought is there. Now it plays on your mind. Then you start going towards such things. And what was in the past, you make tawbah istighfar. And you forget your past. You be a positive person and you go on in life. If your parents were fighting at when were what another's throats, you would say that was their problem. Presently, Allahu Akbar. Hey, how many with regard to the arguments and the fights of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala, how many people got misled in that? One side the Shias became, one side the Khawarij became. All sects went astray. Because of the differences of, but those who remained on the straight path, the Ahl Sunnat wal Jamaat, they say they are all our elders. Their differences are amongst them. We respect and honor all of them. So if your parents were at one another's throats, they are my parents. I respect my father as a father. Their difference was between them. I respect my mother as a mother. It won't have any effect on you. But the West teaches us, because of this, we're going to suffer the consequences. So Allah Ta'ala didn't make us guinea pigs. Because of other people's wrong, now we have to suffer the consequences. And a person like this never comes out of his problem. Always he's laboring under this, because of my parents, because I was abused, because this happened in my history, this happened, so now I'm suffering. And he does wrong to others now. He abuses other people, and he justifies. That person can't come out of the guna. And if he forgets it, that was that problem. I must be positive. I am responsible for my actions today. I must do what I must do. That person will easily come out of this. So la hawla wa la quwwata is that strength and power that will help us here. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq this year if we can keep this roza of our thoughts also. Many people, according to the, though we don't really trust them, but what they say, the World Health Organization, the most common disease in the world is depression, more than everyone else. And depression causes again in turn lot of other problems, heart problems, your sugar, your blood pressure, all this, and blood pressure, sugar, these things again will cause you again other problems, cause you a stroke, cause you a heart problem, and all the cause of that is depression. Okay? So to treat depression is also very important, and it is quite simple and straightforward. And a person, if he learns to be positive in life, he'll get saved. Husband-wife arguments, if a person looks at it positively, he'll have no problem, no matter what the actual problem. And we'll discuss it, inshallah, further. But always keep your main cause in mind. Side issues, leave them as side issues. Husband and wife are fighting. My main issue is my akhirat, is my deen. Then this will become a side issue. But when you make that your major issue, and now you're not making your namazes also, now you are swearing and fighting, and you only want to give divorce, and you're taking false qasams, picking up the Quran and taking false qasam, all those things you are doing, you made the side issue your main issue became your side issue. Your issue will never get solved in that way. Stick to your main issue. Side issues, put them in the perspective, and you'll see they just fade away. You don't have to even work at them. Biggest problems of husband and wife, they'll just fade away. But you make your main issue your main issue. May Allah give us tawfiq, guide us towards righteousness by His qudrat, and help us, and let this Ramadan become valuable for us, and let us change our life in the correct way.